John 9, from verse 13 to verse 34. In this passage, we have the reaction of the Pharisees to the healing of the blind man. We have seen how his neighbors and the former acquaintances, the people who had seen him before, how they had reacted. But now we meet, from verse 13, the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. And then John gives us the crucial point in all this. The crucial point to me is that the blind man was made to see, but the crucial point in what now follows is this. Verse 13, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Now, I don't say that Jesus chose the Sabbath deliberately here to make this blind man see. In other places, though, it seems to me very clear that he did choose the Sabbath deliberately to address the Jews, to provoke the Jews over this issue of the Sabbath. It may have been an incidental here. After all, it says, as he went along, in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. But nevertheless, it was a Sabbath. And for the Pharisees, this, of course, is the reddest of all red rags. As it is today, when addressing men who are given heavily to the law, being over believers, those who argue for the law, the moral law as they call it, still binding upon believers, when the New Testament is so clear about this that the believer has died to the law, but those who press the law upon believers, their usual reaction to those men, people like me, who say, no, the believer has died to the law from Scripture, their usual reaction is antinomian, and the way they recognize this is this question of Sabbath observance. Of course, their Sabbath, they mean the Christian Sabbath usually, which they've changed from the real Sabbath of the Old Covenant into their Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath is still a major issue, it's still the reddest of all red buttons, and it's the red button here. And therefore, the Pharisees are going to destroy all this. They're going to be sticklers for the Sabbath and the Old Covenant. The man is an incidental. He is a pawn in their game. He has to be crushed. This miracle has to be denied. Somehow or another, they must pour some scorn or some ridicule or some offense here upon this miracle so that they can destroy the power of Christ because he broke the Sabbath. Verse 16, the Pharisees, some of them said, this man is not from God, this Jesus, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, in the Old Covenant, Sabbath laws are very strict, and Sabbath offenses bring massive, massive punishments. I'm not quarreling for their over their defense of the law and their attitude to it, although they have found ways around the law, of course. But the fact is here, Jesus is the bringer in of the new covenant, the fulfiller of the old, and he is showing by this miracle that he truly is the Sabbath. He gives this man peace. He takes away his blindness. He gives this man joy. He gives this man liberty. He gives this man new life. Almost literally, one might say. And all they can worry about, these Pharisees, is the Sabbath. Others, though, said, well, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So the Pharisees were divided, verse 17. And then we have the blind teaching the blind. That is what I mean. This blind man is not a theologian. And here he is teaching the great theologians, the gatekeepers, the law ministers, the great bigwigs of the Jewish community at this time. The man replied, verse 17, he is a prophet. He's unlearned, he's unschooled, he has no knowledge of all these things, theologically speaking, but he's teaching the great theologians. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they sent for the man's parents, and then there's the squirming with the parents. The parents can't own up to it. Well, he's our son, and so on, but you ask him for yourself. He must speak for himself. He's of age. He's old enough. Ask him. Why are they saying that? Because the Pharisees have the power to excommunicate anybody who looks upon Jesus as the Christ. You get this in verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided. They'd made their mind up. They're prejudiced. And they determined that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue, and that means out of society. These are the gatekeepers, not only to the pulpit, but to society, to standing in society, to the social contact, to religion. That is why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. And so they come back again, these Pharisees. Verse 24. Come on then, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. We know that this man is breaking the Sabbath, so he can't be from God. And here again, we have the blind teaching the blind. He replied, whether the man's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, and here it's invincible, the man's experience, invincibility here. I was blind this morning, and now I can see. Now answer that. I got up blind, as I have done every day throughout all my life so far, and I'm of age, I've been doing this many, many years. I got up blind, but now I can see. And so they go back over it again. What did he do? How did he do it? What did he say? And so on. I've told you already, and you do not listen. That's the point. They're not listening. They don't want to know. Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Now they come back to ad hominem. You can't win the argument, so flatten the man. You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't know where he comes from. Well, like Caiaphas later, these people are actually speaking some truth here. Caiaphas will say, it's expedient that one man dies for the nation. Yes, one man will die for, yes. You say, far more than you realize, Caiaphas. Jesus did die as a substitutionary atonement for all his people. Yes, you're dead right, Caiaphas, but you don't know what you're saying. He did die for, in my place condemned, he stood. Yes, Caiaphas. And it is the same here. We follow Moses. Oh, yes. You want to follow this man. But John has already told us. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Christ came to fulfill Moses and replace Moses with the new covenant. But again, the blind teaching the blind. Verse 30. The man answered, now that is remarkable. That's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know how he did it. You don't know. Yet he opened my eyes, and he goes on to say the obvious things. Show me somebody who can make the blind see. God must have been in it. This man must be from God. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. This is a mighty passage for showing us the blindness, the prejudice of the human heart. What is the real issue here? The blind man is made to see. What are the Pharisees picking on? The Sabbath. What's the real issue here? And who is the real blind man here? Is it the man who was literally born blind? Or is it these Pharisees? There is a blindness physical, but there is a blindness spiritual. And the truth is, these Pharisees are the truly blind. I've been saying once or twice, the blind leading the blind. The physically blind man, made to see, is actually teaching, preaching to, leading, if they will only follow, the spiritually blind. You can be religious. You can be a religious bigwig, but blind, spiritually speaking. Am I addressing anyone who is still blind spiritually? We're born blind spiritually. And unless Christ opens our eyes by his Spirit, John 3, born again. Unless a man is born again, he will never see the kingdom of God. These Pharisees are proving it. They are prejudiced, conceited. They do not want to see. Who's the real blind man here? Where's the blind man? It's not the man who was literally blind. It's the religious bigot, the conceited sinner, who will not allow himself to see. We have a saying in the United Kingdom, I don't know if it's current anywhere else, none so blind as they who do not want to see. None so blind as they, as those who do not want to see. Are you one of these, my friend? You do not want to see. If you've been following me through John, if you've been reading through John, you've seen the presentations again and again of the glories, the majesty, the uniqueness, the wonder of the person of Jesus Christ. His person, his work, his offices, his name. And again and again I have tried to urge you, impress you to believe and receive and trust him as your Lord and Savior. But has it been all along, is it still with you now, that you do not want to see? And you will take every step to argue your way out of it and justify your refusal to believe. Who is the blind man here? The Pharisees. Am I saying something like this now to someone listening to me? And you are the real blind man or woman. Look to Jesus. Well, how can the blind look? Well, how can the withered arm stretch out? How can the blind see? Christ works miracles. And as I command you, look to Christ. Blind eyes will be opened and you will see his glory. I appeal to you. Give up your blindness, your prejudice, your conceits against Christ and yield to him. You'll be able to sing then, Lord, I was blind, but now I can see. Lord, I was deaf, but now I can hear. Lord, I was dumb, but now I can speak your praise. Lord, I was lame, but you've made me leap. Lord, I was paralyzed, but you've given me liberty. Once I was lost in sin, but you washed me and restored me. Once I was at war with God, now I'm at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, look and live, sinner. Look to Jesus now.